The White House budget request for 2016 details a new leadership development program for agency senior executives. Starting later this year, SES members would have a chance to work in another agency for a little while to learn new skills. There are other provisions in the president's budget request that would impact the federal workforce. Bill Dugan's president of the National Federation of Federal Employees and says those kinds of details in the new budget request may be a step in the right direction. Mr. President, it's great to have you back on the program. We chatted a little bit before we went on the air. It sounds like you see more good news than bad news in this budget request. Am I on target there, sir? Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Francis. Yeah, I think for federal employees, I think there certainly is a lot more good news in this budget than we have seen in the past several budgets. You know, I think the one negative thing that I see that obviously has a huge impact on federal employees was the president's proposal to only give federal employees a 1.3% pay increase. We think that's woefully inadequate, and we're certainly supporting the legislation that Congressman Connolly from Northern Virginia has put forward, the FAIR Act, that's calling for a 3.8% pay increase.
I guess
that's more appropriate.
The downside of that is that what we have learned over the last, well, I guess it's what, 5 years in a row at least, is regardless of what happens between when the president makes the budget proposal and he actually signs something from Congress, the pay raise number that he proposes usually winds up being what Congress goes with. I guess that's not a trend that you're real happy about, is it?
Well, no. I mean, you know, we've seen certainly, you know, with the last with the 3 years of pay freezes that we had, and then the 1% pay raise, pay increase last year, 1% this year. We're not keeping up with inflation and with the rise in consumer price index. So the federal employees are finding their buying power shrinking.
What else did you see in this budget proposal that you like that you will be going to the Hill to ask the members to make sure stays in whatever document they send to the president?
Well, I mean, I think the other good news that we see is we're seeing a reversal in the trend of continuing to shrink the federal workforce overall. This proposal looks, looks at increasing the federal workforce about 1.6%, from about 2.10 million to 2.14 million. And we're seeing modest increases in most federal agencies. You know, the exceptions are the biggest exception. Well, there's GSA. We're seeing some decrease. Department of Defense has some decrease, but certainly a nice increase in the Veterans Affairs, which I think is badly needed. They're woefully understaffed and can use all the help they can get.
One of the things that I find encouraging, I mean, we saw a whole lot of discussion in the last couple of days, both before the budget came out and then after its release yesterday, a lot of discussion from members of Congress on the Republican side about what they didn't like. I didn't hear any mention of any of the federal employee provisions in any of that. I didn't hear anybody talking about any of the issues about the size of the workforce or anything about, well, we should add this or that provision about pay and benefits or any of those kinds of things that kind of crept into the conversation over the last couple of years and didn't actually wind up happening, but were still seemingly on the table. I didn't hear any of that stuff brought out in the last couple of days. Is that, in your view, a sign for optimism, or are we so early in the process yet that you just have your fingers crossed, but you're not really ready to be optimistic about it yet?
Well, I mean, I'm guardedly optimistic. I think that there is some cause for optimism. I mean, the circumstances are different this year than they have been for the last, you know, many years. We have a Republican-controlled Congress. And so I think that, you know, they understand that they have a lot more responsibility in terms of governing and working with the president to pass some kind of a budget than when they were in the minority. So that puts, you know, that puts them in a place where they are going to have to be willing to work with the president, with the administration, and to work across the aisle to come up with some kind of a budget package that that Congress can sign off on and that the president will be willing to sign off. And I think that, you know, what we've seen in terms of feedback and pushback from the taxpayers and citizens of this country over the last several years with respect to a lot of the austerity measures and that we've seen implemented, sequestration and the government shutdown. I mean, I think that people have had enough of the nonsense, and they expect and are going to hold accountable a Republican Congress and the president for governing and passing a budget that makes sense and does not unduly do away with or reduce the services that the taxpayers expect to see government provide.
Bill Dugan's the president of the National Federation of Federal Employees, looking at the president's 2016 budget request. And I don't propose that this silver lining is anywhere close to any kind of excuse for what happened during the government shutdown. But the silver lining that I do see there, Bill, is a whole lot of people had occasion, and I'm talking about rank-and-file citizens, had occasion to stop and think, oh, the federal government does that, and if they're not open, they don't do that. And so I wonder if that might be behind some of what you're seeing about a very, very hesitant Congress when it comes to anything close to another shutdown. I mean, we're already hearing 3-4 weeks ahead of how we're going to get out of the situation with the Homeland Security Department and to make sure there's no shutdown. Everybody's walking around on the Hill going, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. They see how unpopular it really was.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, I mean, you know, one of the high priorities for everybody in Congress is obviously they're interested in being reelected, and so they need to be responsive to the wants and wills of the people and that they represent. And you know, I think people have really kind of reached the point of being fed up and frustrated with so many years of seeing very little accomplished in Congress. And so I'm hopeful, again, guardedly optimistic that you know, once this new Congress rolls up its sleeves and gets to work, that there's going to be more willingness to actually produce for the American people. I think the other good news, at least for this year, is we're not in an election year, so we don't have all that distraction and a lot of unnecessary politics and partisanship outside the normal level that we see entering into the picture to kind of complicate matters as well.
Bill, one more thought about the pay raise, and I've asked this of some of your colleagues in the coalition of employee advocacy groups and unions. With Frank Wolf's departure, we now have in the greater D.C. metropolitan area all Democrats in the congressional delegation, Senate and House. Have you done any research in identifying potential helpers in Republican districts around the country where there are high concentrations of federal employees who could join that coalition that traditionally has been Washington, D.C. based and in the past had Connie Morella and Frank Wolf and some others? Senator Warner, John Warner, when he was in the Senate on the Republican side for representing Virginia, any potential people that could come on board and speak to that caucus about the issues that you and your members care about?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we reach out to both sides of the aisle, and there we have several strong federal employee advocates that in the Republican Party in both the House and the Senate. You know, I think one that sticks out in my mind that has comes out very strong on many federal issues supporting federal employees is Senator Collins from Maine. She has a large federal constituency in the Naval Shipyard up there in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Kittery, Maine. And I think there are others scattered across the country, certainly. I just think that, you know, it's more of a an education, and also us, you know, the labor organizations and other advocacy groups, getting to know the new members of Congress and developing a working relationship with them, and being able to do business, realizing that we're always not going to agree on all the issues, but we still have to be able to have an open door policy and to come in and meet with them, express our views, and see if we can find some common ground when it comes to making sure that federal employees that we represent and that the American people expect to do the work of government have the resources that they need to accomplish the mission.